Good morning to each of you. It's good to see everyone here this morning as we have come together to worship God. And certainly it has been a start of a great week, especially at the end of last week, Friday, we were able to get together and spend some time in wishing farewell to our good friend, the Saltz family, as they are preparing to leave us in a couple of weeks. And again, like to express how truly thankful we are to have them be with us and work with us the last several years. They've been a great encouragement to us, and we certainly are bidding them Godspeed. And we continue to give God thanks for them, to get to know them, and again, to work with them. Appreciated the work that Laura Lee and Melanie Davies putting that together and us spending time. And then yesterday I had the opportunity to be on a lectureship, men's lectureship, with two young men who did a fantastic job in presenting lessons as we talked about I am a child of God. I know it. I live it and I love it. Both Adam Littmer and Josh McKibben did a fantastic job. They had the old guy lead off, and then the young guys took off with it, and they did very well. And in fact, hopefully we can probably get Adam and Josh in the near future here to hold a meeting for us, because they certainly did a great job in presenting God's word and encouraging us. And this morning, to be able to be with you, to open up God's word, to study together, to learn great lessons, to think about Him, to sing songs of praises, words of encouragement, and just think about the sacrifice on our behalf. And truly, it is a blessing to be able to be together with you to do that. The psalmist writes in Psalms chapter 66, and verses 1 through 5, where he states in the context of the passage, he says, "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of the Lord, of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works because of the greatness of your power. Your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in His deeds toward the sun of men." This is a call to the people to come and worship God, to do His will and to sing praises to His great name. Let me pause here for a moment as I get this taken care of. I think for some reason I'm running into a little problem. There we go. All right. And so he's calling all the earth to come and worship God, to sing praises to His great name for what God has done. We began a series or lessons in regards to church growth. And I'd like for us to continue on the thinking of what causes the church to grow, and how can you and I participate in this. We talked about a couple of things so far in regards to church growth. We talked about the aspects of fellowship. In the aspect of fellowship, what we learned, that fellowship is about having unity with each other. It's about being in agreement with one another. It's about having the same mind and the same judgment, in other words, purpose. And that is to serve God and to work together, because we are sharing in that work as we proclaim God
and His will, not only in our lives as we live it, but also to others, to show them how awesome our God is. And so fellowship is a part of church growth. Then we talked about discipleship. Discipleship is about training and instructing, causing individuals to learn or to be disciplined after the way of God. And so with fellowship, we grow warmer. When we are working together, that we have the same mind and the same judgment. And with discipleship, what we do is we grow deeper in our understanding and responsibilities to the Lord. This morning, what I would like to do is take a few moments and talk about a very important aspect of church growth, and that is really worship. Worship is important in the part, playing a part in church growth. As we have been talking about these things, we have realized that worship is so important that not only are we doing it together, but we also worship God in service. And we'll talk about that in the next lesson. But this morning, I want to hone in on this aspect of worship. Granted, a lot of the instructions for us as Christians is outside of these four walls. However, the worship assembly is important in the process of church growth. And I hope that by the end of this lesson, as we talk about worship, that it will cause you to change your mind of how you view worship. That you will view it as God intended for it to be, to help us to grow together and to accomplish what He wants in our lives. And so when we're talking about worship, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about paying homage. Paying homage to God. It's about showing Him respect as we assemble ourselves together. It's about us falling before Him and recognizing how great He is, just as the psalmist was encouraging others there in Psalms 66. It means to give honor to God, to recognize Him as the supreme being and the one to whom we owe everything to, every aspect of our being, our very existence. It means to revere Him. That worship, that mentality, as we come together and spend time in doing that, that we will keep this in mind. This is what Jesus did and how He used the term when He spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Remember that passage we are familiar with, and we've heard on many occasions. But look at what Jesus does in the context of verses 23 and 24. He says, but the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him, to pay homage to Him, to adore, to respect, to revere Him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who revere Him, those who respect Him, those who would pay homage to Him or honor Him must do so in spirit and truth. Amen. You see, that's that word worship. And this is what Jesus is telling this woman at the well. As I said, the bulk of the responsibility or the teaching of the New Testament is about the individual relationship when we leave the four walls of this building. However, God has given us instructions on how to worship Him as a collective group, as an assembly. And so the purpose of us coming together is a very important aspect of worship and church growth. Here is a passage that we also are familiar with, and that's over in Hebrews chapter 10. Look over there with me for a few moments. And notice what the Hebrew writer expresses concerning this aspect of worship and assembling ourselves together. The Hebrew writer says in verses 23 through 25, notice, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Think about that for a moment. Let that marinate through your mind. What is going on when we assemble ourselves together to worship God? The Hebrew writer tells us there are several things that are supposed to be happening with this. We are to be considering one another, of stimulating, causing us to think about love, the love of God, and the love that we have for each other. Cause us to think about the good things that we are to do and how we are to behave as we are working together. And what we do is we are encouraging one another. And not only are we encouraging, in other words, strengthening. That's going to be interesting. Because in all the aspects of what you and I do together as an assembly, there is something happening. And it's by the purpose or design of God for that. And all the more as you see, as he says, the day drawing near. Now, let's begin to look at how this is taking place. When we assemble ourselves together, stimulating one another to love, to good deeds. By adding all the things or implementing the things that God has revealed in His will. For example, look over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, notice what Paul is pointing out to the Colossian brethren when you and I implement singing in the worship of God. In verses 16 and 17, or you can even start at verse 15, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." One body, there is that unity concept. There is that fellowship concept. Remember, with fellowship, this is how we grow warmer. As we're doing these things, as we are assembled together and worshiping together, and considering and encouraging one another. Now notice verse 16. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God." Let me ask this question. From the context of these verses, what is going on when you and I are singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together? What is going on? What is happening in your mind? What are you thinking about? And when you're listening to others sing songs of praises to God, and the warning that he gives for us to be obedient to his will, what is going on? let you think about that for a little moment, for a few moments. Is thankfulness reigning in your heart when you're singing? Jesus, as we're going to sing for the invitation song, Jesus the loving shepherd. The song that we sang, tell me the old, old story. Or tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. That is what's supposed to be happening. When we sing songs like that, those songs convey of letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within us. Has it been? If it hasn't been, then you haven't been worshiping in song as you ought to. Have you been thinking about what the Christ has done for you? When we talk about providing that love, providing a way that you and I could be saved, are we singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God? If not, we're missing what the encouragement of the Hebrew writer was saying in Hebrews chapter 10. These things are to remind us to praise God when we're singing these songs. It is to remind us of the great and awesome work of God on our behalf. It is filled with warning for us to continue to be faithful to God, because God is going to deliver the promises that He made. That's what singing should be doing for us. That's why we have God encouraging us through the apostles, the Holy Spirit, through the apostles writing these things, so that we might learn and do them as we come together to worship our God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. As Timothy is doing the work of teaching the brethren there at Ephesus, Paul says to him, guided by the Spirit, he says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. When you and I are implementing prayer in our worship together, what is going on? What is happening? Other than that, we're fulfilling what Paul is saying here. What else is happening? Is it causing you, or do you see that offering prayers on the behalf of others and petitioning God, is not it expressing trust in God? Is it not reminding us of an awesome God that we serve who answers prayer? Or do you believe in it? Or is it just something that we do? What's going on when the prayer is being led? you thinking about? What is on your mind? Is it the next sports game? Is it in your mind that I cannot wait to get out of here? Some of you, it may be that way. I want to warn you right now, you're not worshiping God. Because God said, as Jesus told the woman at the well, we are to worship God in spirit and truth. We are to adore Him. We're to honor Him. We are to respect Him. Respect that God is faithful to the promise of those who follow Him, that if they petition, He hears. And if that's not going through your mind, if you're not paying attention to that, I understand with young mothers, with young children, how they can be distracting. But what about us? What about us? What's going through our mind? I hate the way that he sounds. Is that going through your mind? Is what's going through your mind, oh, he shouldn't even be up there. Is that going through your mind? You're missing the point. You see, the apostle is encouraging Timothy to encourage those brethren to engage in prayer. And when we come together as an assembly to worship God and we implement this, it should be increasing our trust in God as we ought to. You realize that some of us here are struggling. We're struggling. It may be family problems that we're dealing with. And we know that there are some who are dealing with sicknesses and illness with their families, and they're struggling. And here's the opportunity for us to assemble ourselves together and worship God and offer to Him prayer that He hears and He knows about our struggles. Are we missing it? Are we thinking about those things? We are failing in that if we don't think the way that God wants us to think in reference to worship. That we assemble ourselves together for that purpose. That's why these things are here. It will help a church to grow when we think about worship the way it should be thought of. We need to reconstruct our thinking. We need to get rid of the world. The world has infiltrated us. And we bring it into the assembly and we allow the world to rule our hearts and to cause us not to even think about the God that we have assembled to worship. We fail in that. Yeah, I'm speaking from the heart. I'm preaching now. I'm sitting right beside you this morning. Because we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to open up our eyes and see what Satan has done to us. This period of time that we come together and think about our God, we're thinking about something else. And then we become unproductive. Matthew chapter 26. Look over there. Passage that Brother Eric brought up in the institution of the Lord's Supper. And look at verse 26. I can imagine as the Lord knows what is going to happen in the next few hours. And He has prepared the time to where He could spend with His disciples, knowing that He is going to give His life. And all of this has been prepared. In verse 26 it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. And after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is My body. What's going to happen? What's going through your mind when you hear that here we are about to partake of the bread that represents the body of our Savior? Someone bore stripes for me. I should have been the one beaten with a whip that has all kinds of things in it, and at the end of it, a ball that wraps around and sinks deep into my skin and shreds me to pieces. That should have been me. That should have been you. Jesus says, this bread is representing my body. That's going to take the place of what you and I should be getting because of sin. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. It should have been my life. It should have been your life that was taken. But instead, Jesus is pointing out to them, this is representing my life that I'm going to give in the place of your life. Are you thinking about that? Those kinds of things? When we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, after all, it is a part of the assembly worship. We are taught to do those things. And when we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34, where the Corinthian brethren were not doing that in that way as they should, and Paul is correcting them and telling them the proper way of thinking. Are we like the Corinthians? I will have to admit, sometimes I need to be corrected. Yes, I'm like the Corinthians. I need to be corrected. I need to be reminded of what this is all about worship and what's engaged in that. Because what's going on is the expression of thankfulness to God. What's going on is the expression of sorrow for the sins that I committed. The expression of love for Him who expressed love for me. The expression of joy that I have hope that I will live before God as I walk in obedience with Him. Yeah. That should be going on in our thoughts, in our minds. That's what worship does. And when we come together and we're doing that, even though those things are there, what should be going on? Because there are those who have been struggling all week long. They have been ridiculed. And then when they come to the assembly and we do these things together, it reminds them it's not as bad as what my Savior went through. I am going to be okay because God loves me. First Corinthians chapter 16. As Brother Eric pointed out about the giving there, as we take up a collection. And that collection is really the collection that involves worship to God. And even when you look over in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the attitude that we're to have when it comes to giving, as we are reminded of the work that is accomplished with our giving, providing a place for us to be able to assemble together, providing support for those who are preaching the gospel in other areas, and to helping our brethren who have been onslaughted by the trials of life, to help them out. Are we thinking about that when we're giving? When we're preparing to give as a part of the worship, the work of God's people, especially here at Mill Road? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, a passage that we have talked about in previous lessons, that where Paul is encouraging Timothy to also teach the brethren to observe and to pay attention to the public reading of scriptures. Why is that? What's going on in all of this, in the giving and in the reading of the scriptures? When it comes to the giving, it's about sacrifice. We're learning about sacrifice. We're learning about selflessness. We're learning about generosity. And the public reading of scriptures is teaching us these things. It is giving us food for thought, so that we will do what Jesus told the woman, that we would be the worshipers, or the kind of people that God is seeking to worship Him. And then this time for preaching or teaching of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, where Paul is encouraging them to preach the word in season, out of season, as the encouragement is there. What's going on when that is happening? Learning is taking place. Reminders are being given. Just like with the songs, so are the lessons to remind us. And if it steps on our toes and it hurts, that means we need to make the necessary correction. The shoes that we have on are too tight. We need to put on the shoes that God has provided. The shoes that will cause us to walk with Him. That's what's going on. I want you to notice something. In the age of the miraculous spiritual gifts, the Corinthian brethren forgot what assembly worship was about. The emphasis was on the miraculous spiritual gifts. They forgot the purpose. The purpose was for edification, for the building up, there in verse 26. That's why we're to do things decently and in order, so that we might be edified and learn and grow and worship God as intended. You know what's interesting is I know Love has been with her husband, Mike, who stroked. And he's supposed to go into a hyperbaric chamber. I thought, that's interesting. You know what hyperbaric chamber does? It provides oxygen for the individual. And it's a small chamber. And some of them are large that would seat maybe 6 to sometimes 9 people. And they go into the chamber, and what is going on is they're being supplied oxygen, which helps them to heal faster. Yeah, that's what it does. Let me say this, and I hope you can see the analogy. The assembly worship is God's hyperbaric chamber. Let me say that again. The assembly worshiping together is God's hyperbaric chamber. How is that? We're being fed hope. We're being fed trust in God. After a hard week and dealing with those of the world and being discouraged by them and beaten down, and we come together to assemble, to sing songs, to pray for each other, to hear lessons that warns us and gives us hope and causes us to see where we are and where we stand. It is God feeding us this, so that when we leave the four corners of the building, we are rejuvenated. Do you see that? We're walking out of the hyperbaric chamber of God to go into the world refueled, regenerated, ready to teach the Word of God. And then when the world starts beating us down again as we're fighting the good fight, we come back together in God's hyperbaric chamber and we get renewed and we go back out. Do you see what's going on? That's why I asked the question. Do you see what's going on when these things are happening? That causes a church to grow. And we see that worship, the assembly of God's people, that's how it's being used. It causes us to grow stronger. That's what it does. And brethren, I hope that if you're feeling, well, Albert, I'm just not getting stronger, let me encourage you. Put something in it. Exercise. Exercise the thoughts that God is teaching us. That's what's going on. Stimulating the mind. Yes, allow that to happen. As you put something in the worship and we do it God's way, you will see the change that will take place not only among your brethren. As we grow stronger, you will grow stronger. That's church growth. And maybe we may have missed it when it comes to fellowship, where we should be growing warmer. That's what fellowship does. And the assembly together is a part of fellowship. The question is, brethren, do we like one another? Do we love one another? If we don't like one another, if we don't love one another, then we can't accomplish what God intended for worship of the assembly to do. You see, we have to change our thinking. And I challenge you on that. I do. I challenge you to rejuvenate your thinking about worshiping God together as His people here at Mill Road. I challenge you on that. I really do. I do it with all my heart. I want us to change. I want us to let go and let God rule our hearts. That's what it's about. And so that when we leave God's hyperbaric chamber, we are smiling, we are rejoicing, and can't wait to get back into the chamber. See? Yeah, I know the chamber is only meant to stay in there for a little while. Because we've got a world that we've got to deal with. That world is vast. That world is treacherous. But that world can be conquered with the truth of God's word. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calls us. Follow that calling. Do his will. Let the shepherd lead us. Let him lead us in worship together. Let him lead us as we leave the four corners of this building here, the four walls of the building, to go out into the world, rejuvenated, ready to teach. And even as we are out in the world and assembly does not take place for another couple of days, let's call one another, encourage one another. Do that. That's a part of fellowship. That's a part of growing warmer, growing stronger. And church growth will take place. I hope that that's your desire. I hope that you'll see the assembly of worshiping differently. We need each other to encourage one another to always follow the Lord. And so, my friend, if you want to be a part of God's people, if you can remember that we can help each other to grow stronger, obey his gospel before it's everlasting too late. Do that. All you need to do is put your trust in him, repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, and be buried with him in baptism, and then be risen out of the water, walking a new life, looking to encourage, to learn, and grow.